This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Trans POV is more than just the trans narrative. There are the usual questions about the trans person's earliest memories and their various stages of gender exploration. We have already discussed the differences between transsexual, transgender, and gender fluid, and that gender identity is different from gender expression, which again is different from sexual orientation. While I am usually open to answering other people's respectful questions, which no one would ever dare to ask of other transgender people, it is clear that simple definitions aren't enough anymore, and we need to be talking about lived realities, and sometimes the voices we need to hear from aren't always trans. It's time for a bit of Trans 201. Welcome to Trans Point of View.
Welcome back. You are listening to Trans Point of View. Mama Mish here. I've got a full house. I need a sound up from everyone in the room, please.
Well, this is Anastasia.
And Bowie.
And Misty.
Well, welcome, Misty.
Thank you.
You're a new voice. Would you like to introduce yourself to the audience listening?
Sure. So my name's Misty.
Yeah. Well, I think we've established that. Hi,
just
Misty.
Just in case we weren't clear about that. And I use pronouns they, them.
They, them. Well, you get along with our resident they, them, Bowie. And then we got Anna, is she and her, and yeah. Mama Miss she and her as well. So we've had a hell of a week.
Yeah.
So let me see here. So tell me, Anna, what happened? This exciting thing this week.
For me,
for me.
I mean, so I'm walking the first runway in October.
Are you?
Yes.
Wow.
And then I think so. We were talking about it, Boy and I, and I've realized I might be the first openly trans person to walk on the runway in Australia. Before that, we had Andrea Pejic, but then. She identified herself as an androgynous male, which was in Australia still. So, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And they have another runway in December. So.
Wow.
And then Trans POV just got nominated at the Globe Community Awards. So,
and then Bowie?
I got nominated for Sports Person of the Year for the Globe Awards. Yeah.
It's kind of happening in here. And I got nominated for LGBTI Person of the Year.
Yeah. What are these Globe Awards?
The Globe Awards are a community awards held here in Melbourne based on the work that's happening in Victoria. I think some of it can go countrywide, but this one here, the LGBTI Person of the Year is based in Victoria.
Yeah.
But the things with, you know, with volunteering and all the work that you do for the community in general.
Very cool.
So it's a recognition, like it's a night of recognition for all of the hard work of individuals and organizations. Mm. Victorian base, I think.
Yeah. And they really put a big gala on. It's going to be, this one's going to be held at the Glass House it's the Collingwood Training Grounds.
Yeah.
Where the Olympic Oval is
as well.
But I won the ANZ Small Business Award 2 years ago for the work I had done around a company I had started focusing on LGBT employment, especially around gender diverse and non-binary and trans folk.
Very cool.
Yeah. So to have that, like all of us in the room, part of this. Now, this is just the nominations. It's very exciting. It feels good, though, to get acknowledged for the work you do.
Yeah.
But then all of us in the same room, you know. But September 7th is when we'll know more about.
Oh, I'm pretty much writing my acceptance speech. I figure if it's going to happen, if I just believe it, then it's just already a thing.
Now, Hannah Mounty is up for LGBTI Person of the Year as well. And so we said, we're kind of joking, right? I said, you know what we need to do? I said, we need to go and do like an Apollo Rocky sort of like poster, the two of us kind of like this. And I told her she had to be Drago. She was like, I don't want to be Drago. So I said, all right, I'll be Apollo and I'll wear like the big USA hat. And she's like, oh my God, I got the theme song on my phone. Let's get a photo shoot. So we're like planning this like really dickhead thing that we want to put together. And now how can we just have some fun with it? But we were also, the three of us in the room, while Anna was off cooking and doing the kitchen stuff, the three of us, Misty and Bowie and myself, actually did some work at the AFL yesterday.
We did a cool thing.
So I was one of the facilitators, brought in as a trans facilitator as part of the AFL, and we were looking at the trans and gender diverse policy. Mm-hmm. The only reason I'm talking about it is because it's already been leaked to the community. But it was really great working with both of you there and what you brought. And one of the big things you focused on, Misty, was language. Mm. And what did you see that we need to do in these sort of cases around language?
Yeah, well, I think I'm not a sports person, so no. I think I had a really different perspective from that point of view. Sports is really gendered, like in a way that other things just aren't. So, you know, often people don't include non-binary people in sports because there's men's teams and there's women's teams, and we kind of just accept that because that's how sport has always been. So we had a lot of conversation about that, not including non-binary people. If we do include non-binary people, how might we do that within the structures that exist around sport?
Yeah.
So that was, I think that was a really productive conversation.
I would say the people that were in the room were quite a few key people that need to be there, not focusing so much on sport, but I think the language that the common person then could actually read and say, okay, I know what this is. I mean, there was definitely a need around definitions and stuff, weren't there, Bowie?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was. There was some, I guess, things that an everyday person may not quite understand, like reading it and being like, oh, well, this means this. So, yeah, it was good to get some clarity around that sort of thing, for sure.
But for me, the big win, I think, was being a trans facilitator, a trans woman there, running a session in the AFL, working with the AFL and their lawyers and their team there, and having my peers from the community coming in. And not all of us are sports people, but we're actually looking at the language and how they're engaging with us as well. And I think that was a pretty big win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like, it's really just like any kind of organizational development work, right? Like sports, or the AFL is an organization just like any other, and they have these constraints. I think what was really nice was that there was representation from trans women, trans men, and non-binary folk. Like that's really important because I think, again, the issues surrounding each of those groups of people are a little bit different.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to have loud voices there.
When you said it was really nice, the first thing kind of came to my mind was the food spread that they had on, which was pretty good.
It was incredible.
What did they serve, really?
I got some great vegan options, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
The gnocchi was to die for.
I felt a bit special.
Oh, how good was that gnocchi? It had like this mushroom and there's like this jus with this.
Truffle sauce.
A truffle sauce, that's
or
what it was.
Or truffle oil.
And I was like, well, I didn't want to be there anyway.
I'm actually writing up a recipe for gnocchi.
Are you?
Yes. And I have done a podcast for it already. So,
make it and we'll test it.
Yes.
All right, so Misty, just an idea. So we have a trans point of view here. So this is we talk about different stories or different things that are going on. And we have a sort of a sub show that we do as part of this called Trans POV Kitchen, where we focus on things like diet,
and cooking. So right now I'm actually focusing on introducing basic cooking skills to the public. And, you know, a bit of nutritional information behind of the food you consume as well.
Very cool.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with things like, you know, hormones and, you know, lack of exercise. So Bowie's big focus is on, Bowie runs a business around
fitness, nutrition, and like just general healthy lifestyle and living well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we just bring all different things to this and talking about a more holistic sort of way around being trans.
Yeah, cool.
So, you know, you run a show over in WA.
Oh, I was going to say just on that, I eat food.
Oh, yeah.
So
astounding.
Well, what a coincidence.
what a connection we have here.
Wow, this is, it's a match made in heaven.
But the thing is, this is another thing though, because like I've, because I do work with a few, like a lot of cisgender people, and I mentioned about the Facebook page we have for Trans POV Kitchen. And somehow the food topic really bond the community and the broader community. And, you know, it's just one of the great magic of food, you know, it just brings people together.
Really does.
So that helps a lot, you
know. Yeah, and I think we had recently as well had the, we haven't talked even since doing the Real Big Hug.
Yes.
That was really good. I mean, how amazing was that? And that food was good too.
Yes, the food was great. Oh, but you missed that.
I didn't get to go. I was working.
I know.
Yeah, I was training people.
So we went and ran a. I came up with some idea back in November or October.
Well, before the Better Together conference. So the idea came around like maybe a year ago, roughly.
Yeah. And we was about basically bringing this all together, and the streamers and banners and crazy stuff just coming together, spending some time together in the afternoon, maybe having a cuppa, some cupcakes, some food. We ended up having an amazing spread. We had like a 5-minute massage session. We had a manicure session. We had
face painting.
There was a kids' corner for reading.
And then we had this like big bench where you actually ice and you decorate your own cupcakes and you put it onto the collage. Oh. So, you know, it's I felt at home. Like, you know, I had a gala the night before, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I did with the event we had. You know, it's just very...
The event was a good way to bond the different people from the different bits of the community together and spend time and just have a talk and a conversation and nothing crazy, nothing wild, just time together.
Yeah.
And especially after the whole plebiscite, you know, the marriage vote, it took a huge toll on members of the communities as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was I think it was just a nice touch of embrace for everybody.
Guys, when are we taking a weekend away? Like, I think we need a break.
I'm actually thinking of, you know, like just pack my suitcase, leave for 4 days, no phone, no internet, nothing, and just disappear for 4 days.
I'm going on a trans camp to the Grampians.
Oh, I heard about it.
Yeah, for the Trans Universe. I think it's part of the Geelong's support community support group for transgender diverse people, and Alphabet Soup are also supporting it. So
I think I heard a bit. Yeah. I just heard about it just the other day about this.
I booked my campsite and everything.
See how busy we are over here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on a break now.
But tell me more about the show you do as well.
Yeah, so I present on a show called All Things Queer. In Western Australia, we don't have a queer radio station, but we do have a queer show. And in fact, it's one of two queer shows now. So there's another queer show for Indigenous people. But yeah, our queer show is called All Things Queer. We cover as much as we possibly can about stuff that's happening in WA and across the country. And it's a talks-based show, but we do play a bit of queer music as well.
Yeah. Nice. What else do you do when you're not traveling to other states and talking about policy and language
and sport?
Am I doing sport?
Yeah. I've reconciled that now.
Yeah.
So the main thing that I do is I'm doing a PhD at the Curtin Centre for Human Rights Education. My area is social recognition of non-binary genders and sexualities in Australia. So I've spent the last couple of years surveying people and interviewing people just to find out their experiences of social recognition in Australia. Mm. So that's what I spend most of my time doing, but I also do a lot of other work with LGBTI organisations in Australia. So I'll do a bit of training. I do some volunteer stuff with Trans Folk of WA and the bisexual community. Pretty busy. Yeah.
So in a nutshell, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe eventually I'll be like a firefighter. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like to think too far ahead, to be honest. I think like what I want to do is get my doctorate.
Yeah.
Like that's about as far as I'm thinking ahead, because we had a great conversation yesterday about the importance of non-gendered titles. So I will have the doctor title and I no longer have
just,
to
just negate that whole issue for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Doctor. I just call me doctor everywhere. Doctor.
That's right. So that's a really
where's the doctor?
Yeah, that's a really important part of doing a PhD.
I mean, it really kind of goes well with Doctor Who. No, sorry, sorry.
But I
you like that?
My surname is kind of difficult, so that kind of works for me. I could be Doctor Who. No. I really like what I'm doing at the moment. So I'm doing a bit of research, a bit of training and teaching and a bit of advocacy. So I think when I finish my PhD, I will try and continue to do all of those things with less of a focus on research because I will have finished that.
What has been some of the struggles around the they, I guess, when you're going into spaces and talking about language around they and stuff? What are some of the challenges you face?
A lot of people just haven't thought about gender ever. Cisgender people in particular have never, that you know, that the labels and the language has fit close enough for them, so they've just not had to think about it. So I do some LGBTI inclusivity training, which is sort of like the 101 stuff. And one of the most important parts of it is to tell people to think about gender over the morning tea break. So, you know, think about what gender means to you and how you might describe it and why you would do that. Because defining gender is actually really difficult when you try to do it. And I think a lot of us will have gone through that process because of the nature of our genders. But yeah, cisgender people haven't.
Did you find, like, because something I come across is that a lot of cis people don't even understand the difference between sex and gender. Like, because that's something that, for me, like, it has become very obvious. This is like, well, this form says, you know, sex. Well, that's your gender. Like, why you have such a big issue around it? And it's like, because it's not the same thing.
Sometimes they also conflate sexuality with gender.
Yeah, right.
This actually reminds me of a great thing somebody I know did. So when his daughter was born, he actually ticked the box female. However, next to it, he put on a bracket saying female for now, but I don't know in the future.
Oh, wow.
And that was a big thing, you know, and to me that was a big thing, having seen that sort of action from this, from a cisgender male doing that.
There's such a big move now to just remove gender from birth certificates because sort of like race used to be on birth certificates and they removed it because it
was not real.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a social construct. Mm. So they removed it because there was no need to have it. I think gender is increasingly being viewed that way.
Yeah.
And that would be really cool if it didn't. It's not useful to have it on a birth certificate.
Now, there's always a talk about being transgender. And then there's the non-binary. Can we maybe describe that a little bit more for folks who are listening who may not be used to this? So being non-binary doesn't necessarily mean that you're transgender.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, again, with the language stuff. So feel free to shoot me down if you have different understandings of this. But for me, I think of transgender as an umbrella term for people who do not identify as the gender they were assigned at birth. Mm. Non-binary, I think, is within that. But some people feel less comfortable using the trans language because of the way it's seen in society. So some might have, you know, they might be scared of the stigma that's associated with using that language, or they might feel like it's disrespectful to people who perhaps have gone through, you know, dysphoria or you know, surgeries or medical interventions, and so they feel like they're not valid enough to use that label. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah, that's where I'm along the lines as well, but I just thought from somebody who does identify as they and non-binary, I thought it's more.
So I have a lot of trouble using trans, to be honest, for myself.
I kind of picked up on that yesterday.
Yeah, and I certainly don't mind at all if other people use that language for me. So it's not about, you know, being afraid of the stigma. It is that, you know, that sense that, you know, I don't really experience enough dysphoria to have any medical interventions myself.
Mm. So maybe if you don't mind me probing and asking questions.
Probe away.
So what made you come to the decision to go as non-binary if you didn't feel the dysphoria or the need to change your social gender?
Yeah, I think a friend of mine actually told a really neat story which made a lot of sense to me, that she was watching so this is a person who uses she, he and they pronouns alternately. I will do my best to do that now. He was watching a documentary about a young woman who had breast cancer and had her breasts removed, and then she got them reconstructed once the cancer was gone. And they were watching this documentary thinking, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't replace those. Those are body parts that are not important to me. And that's probably how I would describe it. Mm-hmm. I've always found things like breasts to be an irritation.
I'm totally with you on that one.
Yeah, if it were easy to get rid of them, I absolutely would. But it's surgery.
I do have to say, and after getting them done, look, it helps with clothing and everything like that, and with passing. And I do like my boobs. Okay, don't get me wrong. But when I'm laying there getting a massage, or I went and did something, and I'm like, okay, these are really in the way now. I can't, like, and I'm going,
playing sport,
why did I do
it's
this?
Just like, why?
Yeah.
What is for me, like, they are irritating, especially when I work out, but they do feel nice when I just massage them in my bed.
this is the thing. I have this love-hate relationship because I do like to touch boobs.
Yeah. Everyone likes boobs. Yeah. I don't care if you're gay, straight, whatever. Everyone likes boobs.
Yeah, but I just don't like to have. I mean, like, even running for the bus, you know, like they are so there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And strapping them up and like all of that. So I would be really happy to remove them, or if I had to have them removed for medical reasons, I wouldn't have them replaced.
Yeah.
But it's not enough of a dysphoria for me to actually go and have that done.
And there are many cis women that if they did lose them, they would lose that sense of self and that sense of identity.
I had a close friend that happened to. They had to have a double mastectomy because of breast cancer, and they had such troubles waiting for through recovery, and I think it was almost a year until they actually were able to get reconstructive surgery. And during that time, felt so much less of a woman because that was something that they really defined themselves as, like a very feminine part of themselves. Mm. And just watching the struggles that they faced through that period of time was really it was really interesting. I think because I think of myself, I was just like, geez, I would just love it if mine just had to get taken away. Oh my gosh. But not that I want to have breast cancer for that to happen. But yeah, just seeing it from that perspective, that for her, it was so much about what defined her as a woman.
And what I've got maybe put a point here, because obviously you haven't heard our show and stuff, and you've come in here to this show, is one of the things we really try to focus on in some of our conversations is not around surgery. And what is it to really transition and about the social transition and where you are in the journey? And, you know, we've discussed everything from your dysphoria, Bowie, around breasts and stuff and where the journey you've gone through and where you're at with all that stuff. And myself as well with my body 5 years later, you know, Anna, when she was going through it. So we really get down to the nuts and bolts of it where we find so many of the people within the trans community always focus around a plan of 3 months this surgery, 6 months that surgery, a year this surgery. Mm. And so we really enjoy these sorts of conversations when it comes around that.
Yeah, where it's not about surgery. And I think part of it for me is, I'm nearly 40 and the language...
Welcome. I just turned 41. So.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay, all right. I'm a little younger than that, but not much. I think the language around gender was very, very basic when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Non-binary was not a thing. Bisexuality wasn't a thing. Gay was hardly spoken about growing up. So when I discovered bisexuality, that language, I clung to that with everything I had.
See, I was living a heterosexual life for 36 years, even though I was hiding my bisexuality. And I come from the Midwest Bible Belt. I couldn't explore any of that. There was always the judgments of you're a man and you're wearing pink. No, it's salmon. You know, the old friends argument, you know, and then to come here, but then I feel almost kind of cheated coming out as trans because I didn't get a chance to even explore my sexuality very much. And now I can't go to certain men's spaces and I'm like, damn it.
I think for people, gender is really important and they focus on that, or sexuality is really important and they focus on that. And for me, gender has never been important to me. And I think that's probably another thing to note about my non-binary gender. It's that gender's not important to my sense of self at all. That's how I kind of think about myself being non-binary. If gender ceased to exist, I would be happier.
So here's a question, because obviously you'd get pushback from people from our community. I mean, you're part of our community, but the you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
And if you were to go and speak on trans things and talk to the non-binary and you went to get up and talk about this, where would you find the commonalities, say, between myself as a trans woman and yourself as a non-binary person that you can go and say, I can relate and understand, and this is how I can help?
That's a really good question. I think, you know, my experience is different, and I get that. I know, you know, in many ways in my life, I have a lot of passing privilege, if you like. And I do. When I walk around, I get read as a cisgender woman. So I recognize all of that. I think it comes back to that social recognition for me. And increasingly, as I think about gender, I think that the problem is the assumptions that people make based on how you look. And although, you know, as I said before, passing privilege, and I don't want to downplay that at all, it really irritates me when people refer to me as a lady
we're judged for the 10%, all of us in this room. But when you strip away that 10% and you get into the rest of the 90, the stories that we've gone through, the things that we felt and the pain, the struggles, the love, the sadness, it's all very similar. That's where we find the commonality And that's what's so beautiful about each individual person in this room. Mm. But many people can't get past that. Even our own community can't get past that because we're not even, some of us aren't even at that space.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right. Like the, you know, the feeling like you're different, feeling like you don't belong, feeling like you wish your body was different. You know, all of that stuff is the same. But, you know, for me, I haven't been through any kind of medical journey.
Yeah. I just, because my big thing is I'm a very big ally of allies.
Yeah.
Because in order, as we discovered from the Better Together conference, that it was important for us to have allies. Mm. So again, you know, I guess for the other question was, where do you see your value as a voice within the community? Like, what is it that you bring to it that you kind of go, you know what, I really can help with this?
Yeah. I feel like I can speak to the non-binary experience a lot from my own perspective. But also from the research that I do. So I have spoken to 20 people around the country, and I made sure that I had incorporated diversity, a lot of diversity in terms of ethnicity, in terms of identification, sexuality. So I've spoken to all of these people, and I have their knowledge as well as my own experience in talking about non-binary. And there's, you know, another one of these commonalities is how much we've thought about gender.
Yeah.
There is a subsection of the community, the broader community, that has thought about gender a lot and others that haven't. And I feel like we're the bit that has. We've thought about gender a lot and we have a really deep understanding of gender and where it is and is not important.
I always joke and say coming out as trans is like basically seeing the wizard behind the curtain and you're unplugged from the matrix. And so I'll be walking around going, wow, do men really do this? Do women really do that? Mm. And you see everyone, each gender bagging the other gender out, and you kind of go, but if you only did this, you know, you'd actually not have this problem. And it's weird being removed now. Mm. Even though I'd live a binary life, I'm still removed.
Yeah.
But it's funny, though, Anna, the two of them, I found out that Misty was they, and I knew Bowie was they, and I'm going, think myself going, ooh, I gotta get them together and start speaking non-binary. You know?
We're just speaking. Oh, wait, no, ones and zeros. I was gonna binary, say, yeah. Isn't it? We use twos and threes.
I was
everything.
Gonna say, yeah, look, every other number but zeros and ones.
Yeah, 974.
Yeah. You don't even know what we said.
And I think I found out yesterday that Bowie runs a group for gender diverse individuals here in Melbourne.
Correct.
Yeah, and we do stuff like that. So in my work with Transfolk of WA. Transfolk of WA is an organisation that's for trans women, trans men and non-binary folk. And we have in-person meetups and we have Facebook groups. So we do that kind of stuff as well because I think peer support is really important.
Mm. And is Bowie just leaning back in the chair going, yep. Something cool like that.
Yeah. You speak my language.
Yeah. Was that a four? 4-4-5-5-4 yeah
something like that.
Yeah, and there's actually not a lot of groups for non-binary folk in particular. No. Mm. And there is, like you said, within the community there's a bit of disagreement about where non-binary folk fit.
Well, even with the you know trans women, I'm finding that well, there's non-binary folk trying to go into men's spaces, but then there's a real question around it right now. Mm. There's those who identify trans men can go into men's spaces, no problem. But they're even welcome back into women's spaces. Mm-hmm. But trans women, as we've noticed in this policy that we were looking at, there's a massive exclusion around trans women and a lot of untrust or uncertainty.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone seems to think that trans women are just men trying to get it easier by becoming women.
Oh, look, like, I look shifty. Isn't that, I mean, let's be honest.
Isn't that the theory that people seem to think? It's like, oh, you're just doing that to get it easier. You get to play a woman's sport. You'll be so much better. It's like,
but there's also this idea that trans men are just women.
Yeah, that's right.
So they
right.
don't have a competitive advantage.
Yeah, that was one of the things that really stood out to me was, like trans women aren't women and trans men aren't men. So therefore, just...
You're weaker, so we're not going to worry about you anyway.
But then, so when you boil this all down, they are saying that women are not significant.
Yeah.
In the social structure.
There was no restrictions on trans men.
Which is the world
men.
We live in.
Yeah, it really is.
And now we'll do Feminism 101.
Exactly. I wore the right t-shirt. Big feminist across the front. I think it's appropriate.
No, it's you know, we just have to learn to sort of speak to one another, learn each other's language a bit more, and have these more fun conversations where we can break it down, make fun of it a bit, but find a way to come together and have the serious talk as well, too. Mm-hmm. Where we're these days we're too worried about offending the other person and doing the wrong thing. And I remember going to coffee one time with a friend of mine who identifies as they as well. And when the waiter came over, they're like, "Oh, hi, ladies. How are you going?" And the person basically, "I'm a they." And the guy goes, he didn't know how to respond. He just pulled back and, okay. And this person just was really aggressive. Mm. And I go, you know, we've been doing this for decades, the aggression. Mm. It's gotten us nowhere. Mm. You know, like our session yesterday was, you know, it was a respectful conversation. Mm. And we've all come to the table. We were a guest in their house and we walked away fine. But we need more of that.
Yeah, and I'm certainly, you know, being the age that I am and moving through the world, being referred to as she, her, I'm not about to yell at people when they use those pronouns for me. But where it irks me is when I've told somebody.
Yeah.
And then they just insist. You know, a slip up is fine, but the insisting. And I for some reason, the ladies thing just really gets my goat. Like, I sometimes lose my shit when people refer to a group of people as ladies. It just
yeah. I get that as well. It's like you're walking to someone and it's like ladies and it's like, look at me. Like, I don't really look like a lady.
You're like, dude.
Yeah. It's like, look at this haircut. When the zero fade. Come on.
When the one person looked at you and said, "Oh, well, boy, he went and did this and that, whatever." I saw you kind of puff up a little bit there.
Yeah, right? I did. It's not often I get misgendered as a man, but I'm like, oh, I'm much more all right
with
that.
I am.
I'm much more all right with that than being she'd or heard or ladies. And I'm just like, because I just clearly do not look like a lady. Like, so you've got a very weak connection that you're making right here.
It's I can like, confirm Bowie does not look like a lady.
I need stubble. That's what
you
it
do,
is.
You need stubble.
I'll just draw it on. I'll just shade my face in.
Just do like one shot of tea. And that's why you just like the little shaggy stuff on the end of your chin.
But it's weird that we rely so heavily on people's appearances to make, like, to categorize them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's dumb. We should just, I mean, I like to just think of everyone as bisexual and non-binary, unless they tell me otherwise, because that's the most inclusive and most way to be, you know?
And I think if people really thought deeply about it, it's probably true.
Yeah, it probably is. I think everybody is. But then you go and you think, are they maybe interested? Maybe they are bi. Maybe I'll give it a go. And then you walk away going, well, that was awkward.
That's a bisexual's life. Just,
I know.
Just assuming everyone just might
welcome,
be in.
Yeah. Welcome to my world. Jeez. Everyone's like, so who, how does it work? And I'm going, I'm just the person. I don't really care. So what do you mean you don't care? Like, is it a man or a woman? I'm like, oh my God.
Don't need that definition.
Oh, you just have a moment of going, just fuck my life. Seriously.
But interestingly, like, I don't know, like when I've had conversations with people who are heterosexual in particular, to ask them what it is about that particular gender that they're interested in, it's a difficult thing for them to answer because, again, it's something they've never had to think about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had women come up to me and I've got, because I primarily date women or people with a vagina. I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of going, now I'm stuffing up. But I like boobs. Anyway, so I end up having this conversation and you say to them, I said, well, what is it, you know, I'll say to them, what are you, you know, interested in? And they go, well, I'm actually into, you know, I want to date a real man. And I said, well, I'm kind of like
a real man.
I know.
I
kind of joke and say, look, I'm like the bi dream come true. I'm like the best of both worlds. And so I go and I try to just understand where I'm at and understand what they're looking for. And they come back. I've had women come back and say, well, look, I just need a real man. I need like an animal. I need hair. I need, you know, I just need, and I'm going, I'm just picturing like this Neanderthal.
Yeah, like a gorilla or something. Yeah. What do they want? They want a real man has lots of hair. It's like,
yeah, it's like you're basically just looking for basically the human version of a dog that
you
just can sit on your couch, you know, watches TV and fetch the go fetch food.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's it. People have this really stereotypical idea of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman, and hardly anyone fits there, you know?
Yeah. It's like what you really want. So if some really super hairy dude came up to this person saying what they want is a real man, you know, the hair and stuff, and some hairy dude comes up and is just like, how's it going? I don't think they'd be like, oh, my God. Oh, you're my dream come true.
Now, the ones that shit me the most are the ones like, well, he's got to have a goatee. He's got to have a tattoo. He's got to be this. He's got to be 6'4". And I'm going, whoa. Oh. And she's like, oh, I just don't understand why I'm still single. And I pretty much am going, I can now tell you why.
Yeah. Yeah, that this person does not exist. Or there might be one of them somewhere. Yeah. And they're probably taken.
But then we try to throw different language to them and try to stretch their own mind as well. And then they're like, potato? And you kind of come like, stretch yourself.
It takes time for people, this kind of stuff. Like, they need time with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's been an interesting experience that I've had with Zay also being a non-binary person as well, and me being my non-binary, and people being like, well, what? How does that work? Like, what does that mean?
Which
like,
sporting what? Team are you in?
Yeah, and it just, it kind of, you see people just like trying to figure out, like, but, okay, so you're the man? It's like...
It's just so weird.
No, like you're saying that because of my physique.
And really just screw them up because you're taller than Zay and go and say, yeah, I'm the bottom. To really screw with them. You know?
Yeah. Zay's quote unquote the man.
When you're not around and I do wrong, she beats me. I don't know. You're just something to really screw them up, you know? Yeah. I was joking. I said, if I can get my mom, because I've never had anybody visit me in Australia. And there's this conversation between my mom and I about coming here for a while. But if my mom comes, she'll be here for the Globe Awards, which I thought was so cool.
Oh, that's great.
But I said, what I'll probably do is do something really bad and inappropriate on stage, but I'll just sit there and go, when I go back to my table, my mom will beat me. So she's always yelling at me for small things that I'm always doing wrong. Your hair this time. You're always not wearing pink enough. Why are you wearing black? You're looking like a boy. And I'm thinking, I finally got you to accept me. Stop picking on me, you know?
Have a wardrobe malfunction.
How was it for you? Explain that to your family.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, my family's Anglo-Indian. So culturally, I guess it's a bit different. Gender's quite important in some senses and not in others. Yeah. So they know. We've spoken about it. They're a bit uncomfortable with it, and we don't talk about it. That's basically where that got to. But, growing up, my brother and I didn't, you know, we weren't, gender wasn't enforced on us growing up at all. We were able to explore everything, you know. Yeah. So I was playing with trucks and he was, you know, dressing up and putting makeup on. And like we were allowed to do all of that. And even in terms of how we were treated and the things we were allowed to do, none of that was gendered, which I think has helped me to feel, you know, less like gender matters to me. Don't really feel like a woman. I often say I have all the entitlement of a straight white man. Like, I feel like I have all that entitlement.
Do you think having a bit of that helped shape the way you sort of see the world? And with doing the non-binary and your studies going forward?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think, you know, I first told my mum I wanted to cut all my hair off when I was 7 or 8 years old.
Heart attack?
Yeah. No, she was just like, all right, let's just do it.
Wow.
And, you know, that was my childhood, really. It was really not gendered. But, you know, to actually say I'm rejecting the gender that you thought, that's harder. That's quite hard. And again, like I was saying, it takes people a long time to process this stuff if they've never ever thought about it.
Yeah.
I wish my childhood had been like that.
You were both, man.
So I'm just like reminiscing, like I had to look girly and wear sandals and have a bob haircut, and I just kind of hated my life. I just wanted to wear shorts and
you
a shirt.
You need to not have a bob.
I had a beard.
My childhood pictures, I think I had the same haircut until I was about 13. It was horrible.
Whereas, like, in my country, because I grew up in Vietnam, and my mum would dress me and my brothers in like the most colorful outfit. At the same time, they picked on me because I did not possess any idealistic male beauty standards.
Your parents turned you into a twink.
Yeah, well, yes. Like, I still remember, like, I think I have this picture of myself in like pastel pink and piece of cream jumper with like a bright yellow pants and with a bob cut.
What's the bob? It's the bob cut. It's horrible.
It's just hilarious.
You sound like you were dressed as a cupcake though.
And Anna was in heaven.
But at the same time,
7 years old.
But then at the same time, I was bullied because I didn't look like, you know, macho enough for male.
Even so though your parents chose your outfits.
Exactly.
So they were just setting you up to fail.
It doesn't make any sense
to me. What's wrong with you?
And that's when your Bruno Mars stage came in that you had going on.
Oh gosh, I struggled so bad. Like, because like I still remember how I tried so hard not to, because I tried to grow facial hair as well, but then for some reason nothing came out, and I would keep on shaving and shaving,
and I still had
no facial hair. I'm like, Jesus Christ! And I still remember, like, you know, I was like sneaking into the bathroom, try to shave my armpits because allegedly, according to the boys in my class, the more you shave those regions, the more likely you're going to have like a bushier parts. And then nothing.
Did it just never grow back? It was like you had one chance and you wrecked it.
So with my body, for some reason, like, so they grew back, but then very sparse. So
the more masculine you tried to be, like the more her body reversed in puberty.
Body's refusing that.
But my problem was I was like a chia pet. I'd go and shave at like 9, and by like 10:30, I had a 5 o'clock shadow. It was ridiculous. It was just I had arm hair that was like that long, and it was just everywhere. And
you're that person's dream.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah, I was a Yeti. So. But it's funny, somebody saw some old photos of me recently and they were like, bullshit, that's not you. And I'm like, yeah, it took a lot of laser. But it's funny, like all the different paths of where we've come from and coming together like this. And we, you know, this is one of the best parts, is just having a laugh and sharing these stories with everyone. Mm. So thank you for joining us today, Misty, and sharing your story. And Bowie, Anna, shall we wrap it up?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you've been listening to Trans POV. This is Mama Mish. We'll talk to you soon. And thank you for listening today. If you do want to reach out to us, you can get us on email transpov@joy.org.au. You can also get us on Facebook, which is transpov on joy. You can get us on Twitter, transpov, or you can just come to joy.org.au and just follow up what's going on here at Joy in general. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.